for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, December the 28th, 1983. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Bob Mixon is the teacher of the morning.
The theme this morning's already been the army of the Lord. Toughen up, soldiers, let's go. Let God arise in me, amen? And that's what I'm here to do this morning, is to recruit an army. Nobody said amen. I said I'm here to recruit an army. Amen. I'll give you all the good news first. Amen. James chapter 5. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you that you are the life giver and you are the light. You are the light giver and you are the light. You are the one who gives strength and you are that strength. You are the one who gives faith and you are that faith. Lord, you are the one who brings deliverance and you are deliverance. Lord, I thank you today that you are our everything. In you we live and we move and we have our being. And Father, right now we come and submit ourselves unto the Word of God. And Father, we ask that you would bring forth faith and strength and hope and encouragement within our heart that we might reach out and lay hold of that which you've laid hold of us for. Father, we give ourselves unto you and we give this time unto you and we ask that the Holy Ghost be free to come and to minister according to his will, according to his desire in this place, in this time. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. James chapter 5, verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him testify. Oh. I'm sorry. You know, Corinthians said, how is it, brethren, when we come together, everyone hath. Have you noticed sometimes everyone hath a headache or a problem or a... Now that was for free. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is there any merry? Let him sing. Praise God. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. I've got a good friend, Brother Holzhauser, who says this, that James had to be a pastor because he said, if you're sick, call the elders. Amen. Leave me alone. I'm tired. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the oil shall save the sick. No. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults. It's a completely different word than the sins. It's false steps. One to another. Petition one for another that you may be healed. Here's our key. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let me see if I can capture the context a little better than King Jim did. He changed some words around. It goes more like this. The boiling, zealous prayer of a man in right standing with God causes much power to be available in its inworking in the man. That's a lot of words. I was just changing the direction. It doesn't mean that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man gives God a lot more power. Hello. It gives the man a lot more power. Where is it? Somewhere in Ephesians or Philippians. Somebody can tell me. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Ephesians. How many have heard that? Yeah, what comes next? There we go. Thank you, sister. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. I can ask and think big. Well, nobody else can. I can ask and think real big. Amen. It doesn't bother me to ask God to empty the state hospital. Amen. And when I get to thinking, you know, I mean, I thought of some things that are too big to ask for. But the Word says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all I can ask or even think about. How? According to the dunamis that worketh in me. Let God arise in me and his enemies be scattered. Somebody hear that? So many times, especially young Christians, we spend all our life going to meeting, to meeting, to meeting, to meeting, looking for somebody who's going to have the power of God at work in their life to help us. Is anybody listening to me? I said, according to the power that worketh in you. According to the power that worketh in you. According to the power that worketh in you. Everybody say, according to the power that worketh in me. According to the power that worketh in me. Let's look at our example. Elijah was a man subject to, it's a military word, like passions, human feelings as we are. Elijah had good days and bad days. I'm here to recruit an army. You're going to understand what I'm doing. Elijah had good days and bad days. He had days when it was mountaintops and he could skip over everything in victory. And he had days when it was slow, he didn't hardly want to get up. He was subject to the same human nature that we are. Hello. Paul didn't say your human nature would disappear. He said you'd crucified. He said, I die daily. You don't have to die daily if it'd stay dead. Oh, my. Our trouble is, the reason the chart keeps working is we set goals and experiences, and when we get that experience, we think everything's going to mystically be turned upside down and we won't have any more problems. And then when we have problems again, we ourselves fall into old patterns. Somebody say, oh, me. Elijah was a man just like we are, subject to the same battles we are, subject to the same emotions we are, subject to just about. He didn't have a wife. Praise God, poor guy. Did I save myself? Amen. I never would have made it. Amen. Look what he had. Did you see his servants? I don't even know. He may even had a wife. We just don't hear about her. But he was subject to the same human nature as you and I are. I don't like my human nature much. How about y'all? Watchman Nee told the story of a young man who came to him, and he had just gotten saved, and he had a vision or a dream. And in the dream, there was a white dog and a black dog. And the white dog and the black dog were just fighting and tumbling and tussling in the floor. And the guy was telling this, and Watchman Nee said, well, which one won? He said, whichever one I said sick 'em to. Hello? There's a warfare. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit lusteth against the flesh, and those two are enemies. Hello. But you got to say sick 'em to the spirit man. You got to feed the spirit man. You've got to live for the spirit man. You've got to, this will make no provision for the flesh man. Well, off the subject. Elijah was a man subject to the same passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. That means perseverance. Glory to God. He prayed that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the earth gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Glory to God. Turn back to 1 Kings. We don't find all of the account of what Elijah prayed, but we know that Elijah prayed to the point that he got sensitive. Here's a key, that when God gave him the word, he didn't pray that it wouldn't rain. He told it wasn't going to rain. The prayer wasn't to decide whether God was going to let it rain or not. The prayer was to bring Elijah to the place of sensitivity in God. That when God said it ain't going to rain, Elijah stood up and said, all right, Ahab, it ain't going to rain unless I say so. Elijah was the same kind of man as we are, but his life was consistently built upon energizing prayer. Confession to the Christian is something I strongly believe in. Y'all may not believe in it, but I do. And I don't care if anybody doesn't believe in it, because God's rescued me by the words of my mouth so many times. If I get to talking defeat, you know what happens? I get defeated. If I get to talking poverty, you know what happens? If I get to talking sickness, guess what happens? Yeah, but I know a brother who has that old confession stuff, and he just went crazy. I know people that have gone crazy with everything. Hello? David Alsobrook was preaching somewhere, and he ministered that night on deliverance, and somebody came up to him and said, well, brother, I appreciate your message and I appreciate your balance, but you know these charismatics have really abused deliverance. He said, charismatics have abused everything. Hello, there's not any one truth God's given to us that we hadn't run clear out in left field with. But the thing with confession is, it's not according to your will, it's according to His will. Find a scripture reference for you. I want to give you a key that you won't learn at Rhema. You write down the scripture verse, because I'm going to read it to you from the Amplified. It's Lamentations 3:37. Who is he who spoke and it came to pass when the Lord had not authorized and commanded it? There's our balance. Who is he who spoke and it came to pass if the Lord didn't authorize and command it?
Hallelujah.
Our confession, y'all, is His confession. But it's creative confession, and it's not born out of a 3-day seminar and getting some facts in our head. It's born out of a life built upon prayer that energizes and strengthens and equips the inner man, glory to God, to where when God speaks, we know that He speaks. I think it was Isaiah said, if the lion roars, who can help but tell it? Amen? The Lord speaks something, you gotta say it. It's fire in your bones. It's a roaring. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That word edifies, the closest English counterpart we've got for that Greek word is a battery charger. Hello. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue jump starts his spirit man. Hello. He that prophesies jump starts the church. Glory to God. But it's born out of a life that's consistently filled with the power of God. Well, brother, why are you telling us that? Because a lot of y'all have gotten a lot of help in the last couple of days, and I don't want you to go home and not have it next week. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. You got to stay alive till the next camp meeting. Right. You know, I came in here one camp meeting. I was here about 30 minutes when David and I drove in to hear Kelly Varner. And I heard Kelly Varner say something, and I'm going to say it again. He said, what's the difference between Baptist people who get saved in every revival and Pentecostal people who get the same devils cast out in every camp meeting? Right. Some of y'all listen to me. Don't despise your experience. Keep it. But it's not our precious brother or our precious brother and sister or anybody else who's bringing it to you. It's God. Amen. The same God is going to be with you when you get home. Amen. Our covenant isn't with man. Thank you, Jesus. It's with God. A God who chose to live inside of you and make His power always real to you. The anointing abides. Amen. It abides. Not only is the yoke destroyed, y'all, the anointing don't come and go. Amen. Amen. God's not a charismatic. Hello. He's committed. He's committed. He's committed. Amen. He doesn't float. He doesn't go in and test the waters, and if he doesn't like it, leave. Wow. Amen. You'd think I was still a pastor, wouldn't you? My heart is burdened because I sense in the Spirit that there's a lot of people who've got their eyes on men and not on God. And if you don't get your focus on Him, you aren't going to keep what God's done for you and what He's yet to do for you. Because it's not over yet. 1 Kings. We're going to skip across 17, chapter 17 and 1. I tell you what, I love studying Elijah. I love studying Elijah. All of a sudden, from out of the blue, like a comet streaking across the sky, here is this nut standing there in camel hair and eating grasshoppers. I'm exaggerating. But I mean, just all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, flash, there he is. And for some reason, we think that's how he started. It took a long time to make an Elijah. Elijah, apparently, though, the mistakes he made, God wasn't going to let him make them in public. That's the difference between us and him, isn't it? Everybody's seen ours. See, now we can move to Cincinnati and suddenly, Elijah, you know? We can go someplace nobody knows us and, bless God, let me tell you how you do it. But there were years of tempering gone into making that man Elijah. There were years of praying. It says he prayed earnestly. He prayed with intensity. He prayed with intense supplication. Getting to the place that he was sensitive. He was burdened for the nation of Israel. He was burdened for the people of God. He was burdened that Ahab and Jezebel had completely wrecked the whole system of worship. He was burdened by what he saw. He was burdened by what was going on. There was such an intense burden within him that he prayed day and night and day and night and day and night for the deliverance from the people of God. And we don't know how long it took him for God to talk him into going up to Ahab. We got to see Moses' little confrontation with God before he went back, but we didn't get to see Elijah's. I'm glad, too. It lets me use my imagination. Amen. It's sanctified now. It's okay to have imagination. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's stout. That wasn't a light confession, y'all. That wasn't a plus B equals C that he heard and thought he'd try. It was the fire of God moving in his bones. And I just noticed Elijah didn't say 3.5 years. Amen. Now we're going to skip to chapter 18 and verse 17. We're going to come to the end of the drought, which is what I want to look at. The confrontation. Amen. Boy, that's the word. Confrontation between God and religion. Isn't that what it is? Confrontation between the Holy Ghost and the religious spirit of the world. The confrontation between that which is man-made and that which is God-given. 1 Kings 18 and 17, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? There's that religious demon. You're the troublemaker! Everything was going great until you came in and said it wouldn't rain anymore. Don't you confess that. And he answered, I've not troubled Israel. It's you and your father's house. Because you've forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you followed Baal. Baal in the Hebrew literally means Lord. And they'll say unto me in that day, Baal, Baal. Hadn't we prophesied in your name and cast out devils and done many wonderful works? And he said, forget it, buddy. I never had a relationship with you. I never had intimate knowledge of you.
Hallelujah.
We never worked together. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel. Unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel, and Elijah came unto all the people, and he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? It's a Hebrew picture word. There's a fork in the road, and we see a man walking back and forth between one road and the other. And he's walked until he's foot stumped and he's limping. The Amplified says, how long halt and limp ye between two opinions? They're looking at one road to follow Baal and one road to follow God. And they're marching back and forth in the middle for so long, not knowing which way to go. Not committed to God and not committed to Baal. And that's where most of the world is. They don't know what they believe or what they think. And I thought it'd be different around Pentecostal people. But so many don't know what they believe and they don't know what they think. What they believe is what they heard on the last tape. What they think is what they heard their last favorite teacher say. But where's the intensity of a personal relationship with God? How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, let's follow Him. If Baal's God, let's follow Him. And the people answered Him not a word. Listen, if there's some man-made system that can give you life, just go on and live in it. I don't believe there is. There's only one thing that's ever going to bring change to anybody's life, and that is an unmovable, unshakable, now and forever relationship with the living God. No shortcuts, nothing else. In Him we live and move and have our being. But we don't live at all. He's Lord of all, or He's not Lord at all. God help us. The first commitment is commitment to the way. We've got to make a decision for once in our life that following God is all that counts. Too many people come to God just wanting their problems solved. They don't want God, they want their problems gone. They give you a free testimony. 2 years before I got saved, my girlfriend ran off with my best friend. I was singing the blues and didn't draw a sober breath. I played it, I sang it, and I lived it. And a bunch of my friends started getting saved, and they told me how wonderful Jesus was. And I went to their church. And they gave altar calls, and I'd go down and I'd pray that little sinner's prayer. I can't blame it on them. I didn't want God. I just wanted my problems solved. Hello. I wasn't interested in Him or what He wanted or what He required. I didn't even consider it. I only knew what I wanted. And everybody said, you're saved. And I said, well, okay. It didn't take for 3 months. I was back out in the world. Harder than I was before. But God got me to the place. And sent me the word, praise God. It was His sovereign lordship. That was the covenant. And that was His basis for me. And if I seem intense or bent toward that message, it's because I am. Because there's a lot more people just like me going to hell. Some of them even speaking in tongues. Because all they're interested in is what they can get, and they aren't interested in Him. The starting place in our life has got to be a decision that His will overrides everything.
Amen.
His will, my will. His life, my life. His word, my word. No matter what it costs or where it takes me. And that's the start. And the people answered Him not a word. When Elijah said unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, he believed that. He was wrong, but he believed it. That was free. I said, we all feel that way. Elijah was a man subject to the same kind of feelings as us. And this was one of them. I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I'll dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, that's a good test. Let's make it impossible. And the God that moves and is real, that's the one we'll serve. 1 Corinthians says, before you were saved, when you were Gentiles, when you were heathen, you were carried out after dumb idols, you followed gods that couldn't talk. You served gods without power. But bless God, there's a God with power. There's a God in Israel. A good friend of mine, a prophet from he used to be from Mississippi. He's from right across the parking lot from me now. He ministers a lot of college campuses, and he did a lot of work in the Maranatha ministries, and he ministers an awful lot in the young people, and real vibrant, and he's up on everything. He knows more about the occult. He and I did a radio program in Little Rock one time, a call-in thing on a rock and roll station to refute the Satanist church. And he knew more about their organization than they did. It was blowing him away, but he's got that kind of personality. And ministering on a campus, and a witch from the coven stood up and challenged him. And he said, we'll meet tomorrow at noon, and if you're still alive, I don't serve a God.
Hallelujah.
She left town. He's prayed up when he said it. Are you listening to me? We don't need to mouth off. God's not covenanted to back up every little light word we say. But I just want to know, I want you to know that no matter what the enemy's got, God's got the power to silence and stop it. When it comes to power plays, y'all, we win. Amen. The devil may have his cannons, but bless God, we've got dynamite. Amen. Kingdom part. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Not corporately, all these individuals listening to me. You've got dynamite. Amen. And if you face a battle next week, bless God, you got more than enough to handle it. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Lord will raise a standard against him. Who said that Colin went in the other place? Amen. It's the script that's inspired, not the punctuation. When the enemy comes in like a flood, comma, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Who says? When the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood will raise a standard against him. Amen. That standard's the flood. And it's the breath of God. The God that answers by fire. That's the one we'll serve. And the people said, good test. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, you go first. There's a principle. Action, reaction, counteraction. You make action for God. You make decision. You make covenant. You come into an experience or a place in God. You move into a higher realm. You meet some deliverance. You find some healing. You find a deeper realm of the Holy Ghost. You take action. You make a step for God. The next step is reaction. The enemy's going to move against you. I'm not trying to scare you. I just want to blow your fairy tales away. It's reality. When you get up in the world next week, there's going to be something to face. Think about it before you get there, because I don't want you to be defeated by it. But bless God, if you'll hold on, y'all, if you'll be faithful, there's counteraction. And that's God's move. Hello? And it's a principle that doesn't stop. It's been in effect from the day I got saved. I've known it. Every time I've had an experience or moved up into a place in God, the enemy immediately tried to come to block me, to stop me, to discourage me, to do something, to stop me from pressing on. But if I'd stay faithful and hang through it, God would destroy completely, move out of the way, and we'd go into the next test. I've always said God's like an ACE test, like an ACE school. You never get to fail a test. You take them over and over and over and over and over and over again until you get passing marks, and then you take the next one. And every once in a while, you'll move back and take an old one to make sure you still know it. Yeah, amen. Amen. But how many times we take the test is really up to us. Amen. The good news is if you fail the test, don't worry about it. You'll get it again. Amen. The better news is you can pass it this time. Hello? I'm trying to give you something to take home with you. The patience of God will wear the devil out. Somebody listen to me. The patience of God will wear the devil out. God's not in a hurry. The devil is.
Please turn the tape over. Thank you.
The devil is. Hello. I said God's a gentleman. He'll even let the devil go first. Because he's going to counteract. And come back on top of it.
Hallelujah.
And God will always let you go first. Amen. Unless you say, no, sir, I'll let you go first. Which is the better way to handle it. Amen. Yeah, help us to say no. Yeah. After three or four times, help us to say no. But they took the book which was given them, and they dressed it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped, they jumped up and down on the altar that was made. They were really having them quite a service. Couldn't help blast the truth. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and listened. And he said, cry aloud, for he's a God. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or perhaps he sleepeth and must be a... Well, let me read that to you from the Living Bible. I want y'all to know that I'm quoting a Bible here. I didn't write this one. You'll have to shout louder than that, he scoffed, to catch the attention of your God. Perhaps he's talking to someone, or maybe he's sitting on the toilet. Maybe he's away on a trip, or he's asleep and needs somebody to wake him up. Hello. I'm not saying the enemy hadn't got any power. I'm saying when the enemy confronts God, he ain't got no power left. Hello. Power in the demonic realm. I was involved in it. I mean, the Lord's broken me free, but I just want you to know this morning, y'all listen to me. It's like our brother said last night, let's not fear the enemy, let's fear God. Because anything you face, even if you're all by your lonesome, you ain't all by your lonesome. Elijah was bold. I like that. I'd say he was cocky. Like David. I love David. They're out there on the hills with the giant marching back and forth. And here comes a little skinny, red-haired, fair-skinned, I believe blue-eyed, shepherd boy who his daddy didn't even want the prophet of God to see. Stats up there and says, bless God, let me at him. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies? I mean, can you imagine this little shrimp standing there? Now, y'all tell me what's going to happen to the man who kills him. Don't you just love that attitude? Hey, it's all right. Are you listening to me? Sometimes we get so serious, we get to looking at the problems, and they become so big and so intense, we don't realize how small anything is when God gets involved. Hello.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And they cried aloud and really cut up. Oh, that's good. I'm gonna put your name on it, though, so they'll know that I didn't do it. And cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied, see, unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. Listen to me. The multiple significance of this scripture. It was fulfilled the day Elijah stood before the prophets of Baal. I believe it's going to be fulfilled in the end time when the church of our Lord Jesus Christ stands as a forerunner against the systems of man. I want you to look at the time from morning till noon. It was morning that they hung Jesus on the cross. The Baal prophets had their chance, verse 26, from morning till noon. And then in verse 29, they prophesied until the time of the evening sacrifice from the sixth to the ninth hour. And it was in the ninth hour that Jesus cried out on the cross, "It's finished." Are you listening? From the sixth to the ninth hour, from noon until 3 o'clock, the sky was so black you couldn't see. And I don't believe that was God's disfavor. I believe it was every demon out of hell surrounding and tormenting him on that cross. Because it says on the cross he defeated him. On the cross he defeated him. On the cross he defeated him. And when he cried out, "It is finished. Bless God, the atonement is made. The covenant is complete. The thing is sealed." He chained principalities and powers. And in the ninth hour, the boy's time was through. It was time for God to move. Action, reaction, counteraction. There's going to be times it may look dark. Hello. There's going to be times it may look like the enemy's winning, but God's timing will dictate the next step.
That's right.
Amen. God's timing will always dictate the next step. And Elijah said unto all the people, "Come near unto me." And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Commitment number two is commitment to praise and worship. You've got to repair the altar of the Lord. Repair the altar of the Lord. With every fresh move of God, there's a fresh flow of praise and worship. As the movement subsides, the worship subsides. As the movement dies, the praise and worship dies. We fall into our old forms and our old orders, and pretty soon we've got a hallelujah and a hug and a handshake and all go home. But with every fresh move of God, there's a fresh flow of praise and worship. There's a fresh breaking through of praise and worship. And praise and worship doesn't come from God. It comes from you. To God. It takes commitment to praise and worship. There's a difference between knowing how to praise God and being committed to praise God. Are you listening to me? There's a difference between knowing what it's like to enter into worship and being committed to worship. There's people who come to church to see if God's moving. And there's other people who come into church to move in God. Did you hear me? I'm stuck on this one. This is the fourth time I've told y'all that. The key to worship's in your prayer closet. Don't come in here and say, "All right, musicians, start me up." Boy, wasn't that a lousy praise service. There's no such thing. It's like saying, "Boy, wasn't that a crummy scripture?" Are you hearing me? Commitment to praise and worship. He said, "All right, boy, the party's over. We're fixing to get in touch with God. And what's the protocol for coming into the presence of the king? If we went before President Reagan, bless God, we wouldn't mind going through the rules, would we? We'd let them frisk us if that's what they wanted to do. We'd meet his security man. We'd call him sir and go through the proper order. We'd wait to be introduced." And I want to tell you a story about that man that I just heard. Glenn, this will bless you. A friend of mine was ministering over in Europe. And the fellow that drives Brother Reagan around was saved in one of his meetings and filled with the Spirit. And this guy's brother had also been saved and filled with the Spirit, and he wanted to meet the president. Well, proper protocol was that they just go in and spend about 10 minutes, and rather than make the president be on the spot to get rid of him, after 10 minutes they just get up and thank the president for their time and leave. Well, after 10 minutes, you know, they were visiting, and they did that, and they just got up and left. And the next day, he got a call from President Reagan, the chauffeur did. And he said, "Did I do something to offend y'all?" And they said, "No, we just thought that was proper protocol." And he said, "Well, I was so upset that I had offended your brother, being a young Christian and all, that I just really worried about it last night, and I was wondering if y'all could come over and have dinner with me." That's real people. But there's protocol. And the protocol is to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And to worship him in the Holy of Holies. It's protocol. I've actually heard people just stand up and command God to do. And oh, God help us. Let's have a little reverence for the king. The king's our daddy, and that means we get to play in the throne room. But he's still the king. Commitment to praise and worship. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. Commitment number three is commitment to people. As long as your life focuses around you and your needs, you're never going to grow in God. And I'm not saying go get married to a local church. If God sends you to a local, I believe everybody ought to have a place of fellowship. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about commitment to people, commitment to the body of Christ, commitment to the needs of others. I tell you what, our problems get little when we start praying for somebody else. And I've never met a selfish person yet who got any real help from God. Until they got over that. Because all they're interested in, how can I get ahead? What can you do for me? Buddy, I'll give you 10 minutes. I want you to know I've been prayed for by the best. I've actually heard that kind of mess before. We had a lady, she said, Ken Hagin's prayed for me. Catherine Kuhlman's prayed for me. Oral Roberts has prayed for me. David Olsebrook's prayed for me, and I'm still smoking. What do you think you can do for me? Not much. I can kick you good and hard. I wasn't a very popular counselor when somebody had self-pity. Because I don't deal with nothing but self-pity. If you got self-pity, you better repent. Ain't nobody going to get it out of you. You're going to decide that somebody in the world is more important than you. In fact, I don't see how anybody can be in the state of being right with God when they're feeling sorry for themselves to the point they aren't even grateful to Him anymore. I said, I came to recruit an army. Don't sound like the same guy as 2 days ago, does it? Yeah, God still loves you. He's still sovereign. He's still in control of your life. I'm not trying to make anyone lose hope. I'm just trying to give you something that you can use. And there's people out there with problems. And that may not sound real spiritual, but there's a lot of spiritual therapy in getting your eyes on somebody else's needs. Job was restored when he prayed for his friends. And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood. And he said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. There hadn't been rain in 3.5 years. That was their only drinking water. Those people had to exercise faith. Hello? I said, you aren't the only one. Did you hear me? Some people had to exercise faith. But what he did was make it impossible for it to happen any other way except God. And that's our next commitment, is commitment to the supernatural. Throw out your plan B's. Amen. Abraham had a plan B. God promised him the chosen seed. He and Sarah were going to have a son. And then Sarah started getting old. Apparently she got older than Abraham. And Sarah came to him and said, well, I know God said, but he must have meant that you'd have a son. So here, you and Hagar, go have a son for us. His name was Ishmael. Plan B. And you know what Abraham did after he got the chosen seed? He said, oh God, I just wish Ishmael could be the one. Isn't that just like us? God, let me do it for you. Let me show you how it works. Let me help God. God don't need no help. Hello? Sometimes we need to wait. But when we're looking at something impossible, that's the perfect time. Amen, for God to do something. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I've done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. The last one is commitment to positive prayer. I used to just say prayer, but so many people don't know what prayer is. Positive petition. When the Lord's moved you in where nothing but supernatural is going to work, pray for the supernatural. Hello. I think it was Finney that said if we preface our prayers with, God, if it be your will on something he showed us it's his will, we're the same as calling him a liar. And I didn't say commitment to getting prayed for. I said commitment to prayer. Did you hear me? Brother, quick, agree with me that... Hey, what makes you think anybody else is special in God and you're not? Now, I'm not saying there aren't times to have people pray for you. It's a good time. I'm talking about next week when you go home. And some people just actually give up because the pastor's not home. I think as John Osteen was talking about, they put multiple lines in at their church. He's got 5,000 people. And this lady tried and tried and tried, and she couldn't get through to him. And she came up to him at church Sunday, and she said, I got so disgusted, brother, I tried to call you for 3 days and couldn't get through those stinking phones. And he said, what'd you do? She said, well, I finally got so mad, I just prayed myself.
No harm done.
See, am I listening to me? I just finally got some mad. I prayed myself. See, this morning I'm not trying to get you free. I'm trying to give you something that you can get yourself free with. Okay? Then the fire of the Lord fell. And it consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, Jehovah, he is Elohim. Covenant God, he's the creator. Not Baal. Our covenant God, he's the creator, the almighty, the El Shaddai, the ever-present one. Let's pray. Father, you see my heart and you see my desire. Lord, if any of these words are, Lord, any of my words that have been, that which is human understanding and that which is out of the human emotion, Father, I ask even now by the breath of your Spirit that you cause the chaff to be blown away. But Father, that which is the beating of your heart, that which is the passion of your heart's cry this morning, Lord, let that come forth as a fire in the midst of your people. Lord, let it come forth that there might be an army strong and mighty to raise up in the land, to worship and praise and deliver the people. Oh God, a people who know the experience of facing God and seeing God move themselves. Lord, for this people this day, I pray. And Father, for those that have been ignorant of the fact that they can come before you and stand even as Elijah stood. Father, I ask that you cause those shackles to fall from them today. Lord, you said your people are taken captive for a lack of knowledge. And Lord, I just ask that you loose them from that lack of knowledge today. And Lord, you give them the revelation knowledge of who they are and who they can be and who they should be. Lord, for those that have grown discouraged from looking at their own problems and their own lives and trying to straighten out their own messes, Father, even this day, I ask that you cause their eyes to be lifted up above what they're facing, Lord, to face you. Oh, Lord Jesus, today, that we might be able to see your power and your majesty. That we might be able to see, Lord, that you defeated, that you crushed, that you chained principalities of power. Lord, you triumphed over them. You made a show of them. You made sport of them, Lord. That you're the victor. Lord, for those that are here today that need that experience of total commitment to you, that have not yet had it, Father, today, I ask that you smite them in their heart, that you bring them to repentance. Oh, Father, that you give them a change of heart, Father, for those in here facing needs in their own life, Father, today, I pray that their eyes be lifted up above the needs to the one who meets them. Father, we give this time to you and we wait upon you. In Jesus' name, everybody, keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. I haven't brought an easy word, but it can be a liberating word. You can not only be free, you can live free. I told you that the Lord sent me to recruit an army. And that's my altar call this morning. If you're here this morning and the Lord's spoken to your heart and you want to be one of those people, you want to be one of those people to commit themselves to the work and the moving of God, to bring the glory of God in this earth. If you want to be one of those people and you understand that it's going to cost you, it's going to cost you your life. Your life's going to be poured out for others. Other people's needs are going to become the main issue in your life as you pray for them. If you're here this morning, the Lord's spoken to you and you want to make that commitment to Him, I want you to stand up right now. If God hadn't done it, don't stand up. God may have already done it. You've already made that commitment to Him. I don't want any peer pressure. But if the Lord's spoken to your heart and you've heard His word, we're going to stand this morning together and commit ourselves to Him and look to Him to use us. Not just to help us in our lives, but to use us to bless others. Amen. To use us to minister to others. Amen. To bring our restoration as we bring it to others. As you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you've received. Now freely give.
Amen.
Freely you've received. Now freely give. Amen. Father, you see your people and you see their hearts and you see their desire, Lord, to press on in you. Father, right now we commit this time unto you. We commit this. We commit ourselves unto you. Jesus, we say we're your servants this day. Lord Jesus, we are sons. We're free. But Lord, we choose to be your bond slave today. We choose to be servants of the Most High God. We choose that our life no longer belongs to us, Lord. We pour it out before you. We pour our will out before you. We pour our ministries out before you. Lord, all of our ambitions and all of our goals and all of our desires, Lord, we cast our crowns before your throne. And we say, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and dominion and power and riches and might and majesty. Thou art worthy, O Lord. We throw our lives before You. And Lord, we ask that You cause our hearts, even this morning, Lord, to be circumcised afresh. That You cause our hearts to be circumcised afresh. That You cause there to be a tenderness and a fresh tenderness to the voice of God in our life. Cause our ear to be opened unto You. Cause our ear to be opened unto You, Father, that we might hear, that we might obey. Oh, Father, help us to understand that our time in prayer, Lord, is not just what we should do, but it's a time of fellowship with You. Father, call us. Call us to the closet. Call us to prayer. Call us to Your word. Call us to worship. Call us to praise. Call us to ministry. Lord, our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. Call us, Lord. Call us, call us, call us, Lord. Let the voice of God come ringing in our ears, Lord. Let us hear the voice from the throne room. Let us hear the voice of the bride. Let us hear the voice of the bridegroom. Oh, Lord, let us hear the voice. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, I take authority over all traditions of men. Lord, over all legalistic demons that would try to come in and take these commitments and twist them and turn them into something that they're not. Lord, you see these people's hearts and you see their desire. And Lord, you understand that this covenant is based upon your power working in their lives, Lord. It's not based on how good they'll do it. It's based upon your power working in their lives. And Father, I loose that right now in Jesus' name. I stir up the gift that's within them. I rekindle the fire that's within them. I heap coals of fire upon their head. Lord, I heap coals of fire. Rekindle that fire, Father. Rekindle that glory. Rekindle that passion and that zeal within them. Oh, Father, I thank You. I worship You. I exalt and I magnify Your name. Praise You, Jesus. Let the fire fall on us, Lord. Let it fall on us, Lord. Let the consuming God come upon us, Lord. Let the consuming fire of God come upon us, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for Your great grace and mercy, for Your abundance, Lord, that You would choose such imperfect vessels, even as us, Lord, that these earthly vessels could possibly hold the great treasure of the glory of God. But, Lord, that's your wisdom. You chose us, the weak and the beggarly things of this world, to confound the wisdom and the strength of this world. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that you've hidden these mysteries from the eyes of the wise and the prudent, but you've revealed it unto babes and children. Lord, you've revealed it even unto us, the simple. And Father, we thank you today. We thank you today for the revelation and the life of your word within us. And Father, I seal this word right now unto these. I declare that the fowls of the air shall not steal one word of God's word spoken this day. Devil, you hear me? Not one word spoken by God this day shall be stolen, but it shall come forth, and it shall come forth in strength, and it shall accomplish from what it was sent from the throne of God for. Father, I thank you that it's so. I thank you that it's so because your word says it. Lord, you're faithful. You're faithful, and you promised. You're faithful and you promised, Lord, every word shall bring forth fruit even in the lives of these, for they're good ground. They're good fields, Lord. They're good fields. They have hearts to serve you and they love you. And Lord, they'll bring forth fruit 100-fold, Father. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name.
In his prayer, he prayed what we've been taught this morning. We've been taught the parable of sowing and reaping. And as we sow, others will reap, and others have sown, and we will reap. And others have sown into our lives. Others have sown into Irma and me. Others have sown their lives into us. And we, in turn, are sowing ours into others. And that's the requirement of the Lord for all of us. That what is sown into us by others, we sow into others. And then the Lord sends forth them to reap. And we are reapers of others, and you are reapers of others, and others will be reapers of ours. But it's as we give freely what the Lord has given unto us, and as we receive it and retain it, as we praise and worship the Lord, and as it is sowed into us and it cannot be stolen away, then we in turn can sow that back into others, and it will be retained and not lost. But it will be retained because the word of the Lord is sure, and it will come to pass. Now, Bob wasn't here Tuesday afternoon. He had to go back over and take care of some other commitments that he had, or Monday afternoon. And he picked up today right where Charles left off Monday afternoon. Charles taught the 18th chapter of Kings through the 18th verse. And he picked up and started with the 17th verse and continued on this morning. And he didn't even know that until right now. You see? The wisdom of the Lord. And we're so blind to see it many times. Most of the time we are. The understanding that God's trying to pour into us by His Spirit. But as we flow out and give unto others, then the Lord gives back unto us our needs. And it's not an easy thing. You stay around here a while and you find what he was mentioning about somebody wanting a quick fix. They come in off the road, and I've got a half an hour, and pray for me real quick. And then they want you to pray for them, stop everything you've got, all everything, and pray for them. And off they go down the road and think they've got it. And no, we're glad to pray for them. We believe that the prayer will help, but it takes more than that quick fix. It takes a determination in their hearts that they're going to walk before the Lord, that they're going to do something for the Lord. I must be determined that I will serve the Lord. I will praise the Lord. I will be what He wants me to be. And then, when I'm the anointing and the blessing of the Lord, then will flow forth from me and back from you to me. As I determine to serve the Lord. It's not what Bob does or what Charles does or somebody else does. It's what I determine that I will do. And every one of us has to determine that I will serve the Lord. And I'll not have a pity party for my problems. That's right. Wonderful. Find somebody to help you with your problem, but don't have a pity party about it, because you'll never get rid of it. That's right. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this today. We thank you for the word of the Lord. Help it to be so deep within us that we can't shake it, and that we don't want to shake it. But we want it to grow. We want it to come forth. We want it to bloom and bring forth fruit, Lord. I thank you for it. Father, I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for the anointing and the word of the Lord. Father, I thank you for the food that they prepared for us in the kitchen this morning.
blessed to our bodies, making health and strength to us.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.